Praise the Lord. Let's bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies upon us. As we gather here today, I come by the blood of Jesus, confessing my sins. I ask for fresh mercy, sufficient grace, and the help of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we tap into the grace of the fathers of the house to bring a word in season, a word of encouragement. Lord, a word that will enable us to go over onto the other side. I ask for sufficient grace to speak and to teach as an oracle of God. As the word goes forth, let it go forth in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. To do an internal and eternal work in our hearts and life, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlighten the revelation of Christ's life, and our emotions further controlled and tempered by the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, help me to bring out of treasure of all things new and old, as the scribe instructed into the kingdom. Help me also to redeem the time. We give you praise, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for your reward to do in our midst this evening. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you, Mommy. The title of my message this evening is called Standing Still and Firm in Jordan. Let's say it together. Standing still and firm in Jordan. As Mommy has been sharing recently, especially in the new year, that she said that, like sharing from the book of, in the gospel, said, let us go over onto where? The other side. Because the other side is the promised land of pleasant surprises. If you decide to stay in the wilderness, you see, you're only going to end up with manna. And manna is about to cease in this day. So are you with me? So we are going over to the other side. So let's open our Bible book of Joshua chapter 1 verses 10 to 11. I'm saying the same things, but taking this story from the Old Testament of when the children of Israel crossed over to the other side, to this promised land, which, as we all know, is a land of a perfection and the fullness of Christ, in which we inherit the glory. Firstly, as a bold anointing, then as we grow under authority of seven spiritual verses, we can now inherit our own. Praise the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 10, with two verses. Then, let's read together. Then, Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, next verse, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you what? Victuals. For within what? 3 days, you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth unto you to possess it. We are to pass over within 3 days. We are talking about the third day from the birth of Christ, the third millennium from Christ. So God is saying, look, we must cross over this Jordan within 3 days, not after 3 days. As we all know, Isaiah chapter 6 says, after 2 days, what? It will revive us. In the third day, it will raise us up. Lord Jesus Christ himself said in the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 2, he said that, go tell thou fox, I cast out devils and do cures in the first and second day. And in the third day, what? I shall be perfected. Talking about the body of Christ, praise the Lord. So like I was meditating some time ago, I discovered that, you see, God works with precision. You see, God can say he will do something, but what we do or what we don't do can either hasten it or delay it. Like he said to Abraham, he said, your children will be in this strange land in Egypt for 400 years. But because of Moses' mistake, they spent 430 years. I was looking at the scripture, I thought the same thing occurred. See, when they came out of Egypt and they went to the river, exactly, you know, Egypt, when they came out of it, represents the Passover, the spirit of Passover. 50 days later, on Mount Sinai, they celebrated Pentecost. So if you keep reading, when they got to Kadesh Barnea, they actually got to Kadesh Barnea during the Feast of Tabernacles. It was supposed to be a perfect type and example for us to follow. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 13 verse 20 at Kadesh Barnea. So God already planned everything. You see, but what we do, like the pastor always tells us, what we do or don't do can either hasten or delay it. Praise the Lord. We are going to hasten it in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, Numbers chapter 13, verse 20, what does it say? And what Moses was telling them, I was giving them instruction of what to do. Let's go and spy the land. No one has sent 12 spies. He said that, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of a good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now, say now, the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. I went to check. You see, the time of the first ripe grapes is the time of tabernacles. It actually occurs in Israel between the months of September and October. So they were supposed to be a perfect example for us to follow in types and shadows now. But we know what happened. 10 came back with an evil report. The Bible said they brought this grape, a cluster of grapes. I followed for the valley of Eshcol.
It was so big that two people had to carry it. But they gave an evil report. And people were afraid. They said, go there. Giants, you know the story. And they, God was so angry. So God said, okay, go back. And they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. This seems to be the story of the church. Now, not because we have rebuilt, but you see, the knowledge, the understanding, the still wisdom for us now was not, has not been available 40 years ago. But now, the wisdom has come. Are you following me? So we see the importance of what I've just mentioned. Because by the time they crossed over, in the time of Joshua, it was no longer a time of first ripe grapes. It was now the time of the feast of Passover. I was just wondering what Pastor said, that the Lord Jesus Christ probably was looking at the feast of Passover to begin his miracles. Are you with me? So let's keep reading. So that is what happened. And Joshua chapter 5, verse 10, just put the scripture behind it so we can understand. They crossed over in the season of the feast of Passover. What does it say? And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal, that's after the crossover, and they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, even at the plains of Jericho, verse 11. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, on unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. So we can see that they entered the promised land at the time of the feast of Passover. Praise the Lord. Now, Mommy has been sharing with us recently, you know, about a time of reverence. I see this very important in this season that we are crossing over. You see, there are two things you must recognize. You see, they had to pass through the Red Sea to leave after they left Egypt and into the wilderness. We see, but another thing we must cross the Jordan to enter into the promised land. You see, in the wilderness, they were led by a pillar of fire and cloud. But see, to enter the promised land, the cloud was no more there. They were now led by four priests carrying the ark. That's the difference. You see, this shows you that you cannot be doing whatever you want to do. So it's a time of reverence. And Mommy read recently from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. But let's first of all read, let's see the type in Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. It's a time of reverence and godly fear. Why? Because we have not gone this way before. Are we there? And Joshua rose what? Early. Say early in the morning. This is talking about the fourth watch. Joshua rose early in the morning. That the Bible says Jesus Christ. He said that Jesus Christ wake up a great while before dawn and depart the solitary place to pray. You see, Mommy said something when we were praying some days ago. He said that God has given us 2 years head start. That is, we've been doing this thing. You understand as I continue. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. You see, to remove, that is like uprooting yourself, not being stuck in your rot. And he said, all the children of Israel, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Next verse. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. You see, when I went to check, you see, that they didn't pass after 3 days, because the initial scripture read said that they should within 3 days. It says that they passed over when I was reading the commentaries. Now, what it actually means here is that they actually went at the tail end of the third day. Are you with me? So, and the officers went through the host. Next verse. And they commanded the people. You see, it wasn't a suggestion. Saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest. So you must see two things. Say the ark of the covenant and the priests, the Levites, bearing it. Then shall you what? Remove again from your place and go after it. Follow it. Next verse. Yet. As you are following. Say, yet shall there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. Nobody has entered this promised land of the perfection and fullness except the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is warning us. He said, look, this is not like the time of the wilderness. Everybody will run helter-skelter. Now, we are going into the promised land. And he said two things you must see. Say, one, when you see the ark. Then two, you see, you are not just going to see the ark. The ark must be on people. Say, you are going to see four priests. Say, when you see, say, you give them 2,000 cubits, you've been taught. That speaks about reverence in your heart. For two people, one, the ark of God, and then two, the people carrying the ark. It's very important. I follow you, mean? It's very important. We should have that at the back of our mind. It talks about an attitude of reverence. And I will show you from scripture. Because when Mommy was quoting from Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, some time ago, I saw that two things can cause you entering the promised land. Number one, irreverence. Talked about Esau. Is it that profane man? Profanity has to do with irreverence for the things of his people. Bible said he despised Lord his birthright and stole it for a muzzle of pottage. It cost him greatly. He said there was a time that he cried and he sought for it. There was no room for repentance. When a season that we must go over. I verse number one. Then the other thing is this irreverence also hinders the flow of grace. Are you with me? Let me first of all read from where Mommy quoted Hebrews chapter 12, verses 28 to 29. Let me read. Let us see. Say, wherefore, receiving a kingdom, we are crossing over, which cannot be moved. Let us have what? Grace. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We serve God with our spirits in prayer, but with reverence and godly fear. The Lord Jesus Christ was hurt in that he feared, not because he prayed with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Alone. You see, like I said the other thing, two things we learn from our Lord Jesus Christ is this. It's a learn of me, meekness and lowliness of heart, number one. The second thing you also learn is what I said, we learned obedience by the things which he suffered in true self-denial, praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. So you take the meekness and lowliness of heart, receive sufficient grace and mercy. Now take it to the place of prayer to pray. Are you watching? Are you following me? So there are two things we learn of him. Who in the days of his flesh, when they offered a present, talking with strong kind and tell, until he was able to stay in from that. And he was hot in that affair. Though he was so, yet learned he practiced obedience by the things which he suffered, which is self-denial. Praise the Lord. Now, Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Have I read it? Okay, so let's skip it. Now, let me just give you an example of irreverence. You see, let's look at the life of Moses. Numbers chapter 20, verse 12 in the Message Bible. Numbers 20, verse 12. It was what cost Moses from entering the promised land in the Message Bible. What does it say? God said to Moses and Aaron, because you didn't trust me, didn't treat me with only what? Reverence. In front of the people of earth, you two aren't going to lead this company into land that I've given them. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. I'm saying it so that we can begin to reverence God. We need to honor God in the things we do. The entire book of Malachi talks about how the priests and the people of Israel were offering up sacrifices that were not good. Here I say we must serve God with reverence and godly fear. Let's begin to check how we offer, what we offer to God. Malachi was saying, say, go and offer it to governor, whether he will accept it. I said, you want to come for prayer meeting, you are late. Go and offer it to the governor. If you are working in the governor's office, whether they will not stop your work. Those are the things that the priests were doing. They are profaning the offerings of the Lord. And we are kings and priests in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So I just said that. And then the second thing, you see, we reference the ark, which is the presence of God, which I've just seen. They also reference those that are carrying the ark. In the book of Psalm 15, verse 4, it says, David asked a question. He said, who shall ascend unto the Lord? Who shall abide in the temple of the Lord? He said, in verse 4, he said, those that honor them that fear the Lord. Praise the Lord. So it is a day to honor them that fell, those that carry the ark. Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. We read again from Moses. It is what caused Miriam. They did not reverence the man of God. And he said, God was talking to Miriam. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. Next verse. My servant Moses is not so. Who is faithful in all my house? We are talking about the four priests that carried the ark. Next verse. They did not give that distance in their heart. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Even apparently and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Lord shall he behold. Wherefore? Say wherefore. Wherefore? Then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So those two things, we must watch for them. Reverence for the ark. Reverence for those that are carrying the ark. And it's twice why I say 2,000 cubits. It's a hard thing. You know, you can't get near to them. Say that you are respect them. Bible says, count them worthy of double honor. Praise the Lord. So, two. Yes, sir. Double honor. Reverence. Are you following me? And then the respect when you now give your tithes and offering and all that. We need to have that. Praise the Lord. So, it's very important to have that. Now, the title of my message, like I said, is like standing still and firm in Jordan. But to stand still means not to stagger in unbelief. And then to stand firm is to be established on yielding to pressure or to the flesh, making no room for the flesh. So you find out that, you see, God is not telling everybody now to stand still, because it was the commandments was given to the priests that carried the ark, not the children of Israel. It's going to be I and the children of God has given. But you see, it is those that carry the ark as they stand. But you see, what they did is this. He gave that commander early in the morning, and then they went there and said, and the fourth of all, stand still at the brink of Jordan. Then the next time, by the time they moved inside, they had moved to the middle of Jordan. They said they should stand firm. Everybody said, no shaking. No shaking. They can't afford to shake. It's because it was when they stood there that the Jordan opened up. Are you following me? Because if they should shake. You see, this speaks about priests that are working in perfect harmony and synchrony. None is falling out of step, giving a certain sound. Are you with me? So you see, because they are carrying the ark, and the ark must not stumble. Are you following me? So as they stood there, Jordan parted. You see, notice, not anybody could stand. If you stood in Jordan with your feet, it won't part. So it is the priest that God gave the authority to carry the ark. Are you following me? That stood firm and stood still. I follow him, praise the Lord. So that is very important for us to know. So, like I've explained, let me clarify this thing. So we talk about Jordan, the ark, and also the four priests that carried. I've explained. What is Jordan? Jordan is a place of death. I follow him. It's a place of dying daily to self. The loss of flesh, loss of eyes, the pride of life. Praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. That's what Jordan is. I follow me. It is what is separating us from entering the promised land. The ark of God represents the love of God, which they carried on their shoulders. That means they are governed by the love of God. Are you following me? The God has put the harness of love on them. So they cannot afford to shake. Are you with me? So that's very, very important. And then the four priests I've already mentioned. This speaks about, represents mature spiritual leadership. Working in harmony and in symphony, giving a certain sound. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 says, I would that you all, I beseech you, brethren, that you speak the same thing, there be no difference among you, that perfectly join together in the same mind and the same judgment, even the mind of Christ. It's because as they carry the ark, they have to walk in synchrony, having the mind of Christ. Because you see, they must be the same height. We are going to the measure of a stature. One cannot be taller. You cannot have Saul and David carrying the ark. Saul was too tall. The thing will not be balanced. Are you following me? So you have to harm David. I follow me, and those of the dynasty of David carrying the ark, they must be the same height so it can be balanced. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So it's very important. And you see, why you have to put somebody there. You see, they have grown to a place whereby they show mercy all the time. Why? Because you see, on top of the ark is the mercy seat. And the commandment that Lord Jesus Christ gave us is this. He said, be ye merciful, even as your Father in heaven is merciful. None of us has gone there yet. It's only the priests that are carrying that ark. That's why instead of getting annoyed or angry, they just show mercy. It's a principle. It's not a shanuma. No. It's a principle that's what I started when the Lord have mercy on me. But see, we are doing it. It's so fast. You see, Romans chapter 9, verse 23 says, it is those messages of mercy that God has promised that will carry the glory. Romans chapter 9, verse 23, just mentioned before. Move on. And we then say, that he might what? Make known the riches of the glory of on the verses of mercy, which at what? Are far prepared unto glory. So they are the ones that are carrying the ark. So that's how you know them. They are merciful, even as their Father in heaven is merciful. I said they are governed and controlled by the love of God. The harness of love is upon them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 15. Paul said it. He said that the love of Christ constrains us. But we just judge. That if one died for all, then we're all dead. That they which live to rule henceforth live unto themselves. But to him that died for them and rose again. They are not going to live in a life for themselves. They get up very early. They pray very early. Are you following me? It's very important. So, the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Do you want to open there? Paul said, I die daily. And you see, the reason why I say go after them is this. Even though we are not there yet, we should follow their example. Are you following me? We should follow their example. So, Romans chapter 8 verse 13. Let's just read it, you know, to clarify. In Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 8 verse 13. In the Amplified Bible. Romans 8, verse 13. This is the kind of life they are living. We are going to read verses 13 and 14. We quote verse 14, but 13 is the consequence. 14 is the consequence of verse 13. For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, are habitually put into death, making extinct, deadening the evil deeds prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Now, the next verse, connect it. Say four. All who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. So the sons of God are those that are learned to habitually crucify the flesh. They are carrying the ark. So they are dead to self. Praise the Lord. So that is very, very important. Now, as we continue, in summary, what are we saying? Standing still in Jordan speaks about the fourth word praying. I don't want to take too much time so you can understand. Because the fourth of all, too still. The Jordan, Bible says, God cut off Jordan. He went back to Adam. Are you following me? Then they kept moving with the ark. You see, as the Jordan parted, not that people rushed inside, though, they allowed them, they got to the middle of Jordan. The middle of Jordan, I'm not sure whether it's the place on earth. I can't read somewhere. But you see what he's talking about. He said the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. They're going to put death under their feet. As they stand in the middle of Jordan. That's the height. That's the deepest point. Are you following me? So, and then they stand firm. To stand firm is to establish the standing still, which speaks about their daily walk in the spirit. That is, when they leave the place of prayer in the morning, they keep on walking in the spirit to sustain what they have done. Why? Because Jordan has now parted and the children of God are crossing over to the promised land. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So it's very important. So I put it, I say, God commanded, and after that God told Joshua this, he commanded that you go and pick 12 stones, say 12 stones, from where in the middle of Jordan, where the feet of a priest stood firm. You see, the stones in the Bible has been taught speaks about revelation knowledge. He said, go there where they are stood. After they crossed over, he said, go there and pick 12 stones. You see, these 12 stones, I know 12 is God's number for government. I got him. So he said, go and pick those stones. Like Pastor has preached to us recently about the altar of stones, old stones. And so they picked 12 stones here. If you read the book of Elijah, Bible says, when he repaired the altar, he said he took 12 stones, representing types of Israel, to build an altar to the Lord, and then fire came down. To summarize, what are these 12 stones? It is the revelation of God's word that will help you to perfect the love of God through praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit that will bring down the glory. That's what Elijah did. Summary, if you take first 2 stones, honesty and the fear of God, remaining 10 for commandment, love, you perfect the love of God. And when we do that, like Elijah, when he prepared the altar, the glory of God came down. So they took those stones from where they were standing as a memorial for the children of Israel. That when they get there, too, they may know how to stand on those 12 stones. He told Peter, he said, on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Praise the Lord. So to make it clearer again, this is what God told me. You see, in Ephesians chapter 6, to make it clear, standing still and firm in Jordan. Ephesians 6 verse 13 says that, he says, having done all therefore to stand therefore. Then he began to describe the armor of God, which I have been taught, which is the armor of love. So it's still the same thing we are talking about. That is, you put on that armor daily of love. He said, because we rest not against flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 13. Let me just read that scripture. You are familiar with Ephesians 6 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 13. What does it say? It says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quickly like men, be strong. Next verse. It links together. Let your things be done with all. Be done with charity. All your things be done with charity. So you can see what it means to stand firm and to stand still. Now, I put it there. The cross, you see, it's so interesting. Now, God chose the time that Jordan overflowed his banks for the children of Israel to cross over. If you notice the time of Jacob, Jacob walked through for Jabbok. But here, God said, look, you are going over. When Jordan overflowed his bank, what talks about the swelling of Jordan in the book of Jeremiah? What does that mean? This talks about the abandoning iniquity of his present day. The Bible says that because iniquity shall abound, Jordan is overflowing. The direction of that thing is pointed. It said the love of many shall wax cold. So it is this abandoning that God said you are going to cross over. Praise the Lord. And the Bible says in Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 7, it says that many waters. Let's look at it. Songs of Solomon chapter 8 verse 7. It says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods of Jordan drown it. So it says, as we are crossing over, no shaking. We are going to cross over to the other side. Praise the Lord. So why is this very important at this time? I said that the crossover in the season of Passover. You see, right now we are looking forward to, I'm not saying it as a matter of fact, but it just amazed me when I looked at the scriptures. We are approaching another feast now, which is the season of Feast of Passover. Are you following me? In which we are celebrating Easter. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. Joshua chapter 3, verse 15. What does it say? And as they, what? They that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. For Jordan overflowed all his banks all the time. But the harvest there is not tabernacles. It's the harvest of the barley harvest. That is when they crossed over. And they stood there till everybody crossed over. It's very, very important. The second thing is this, is that we are to pass over in haste. Say, we are to pass over in haste. You see, but in a kairos moment. So, it's not a time to be like, Mommy quoted from Hebrews 12. He said, therefore, let us lay aside every weight and sin that easily besets us, and let us run with patience the way that is set forth, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto our carrying the ark. I follow me. That's, you see, the reason why chastening comes is this. When we are carrying weights and sins, and we don't want to leave them, so God chastens us so we can partake of his holiness. Are you with me? So that's why he said, let us serve God, acceptably godly fear. Praise the Lord. So that is when we are crossing over. It's a kairos moment. Joshua chapter 4, verse 10. Because this moment is not going to be forever. It is the window of opportunity. What does it say? For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished, that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people according to all that Moses commanded. Joshua commanded Joshua. And the people hasted and passed over. It's a kairos moment. We can't afford to waste time. This period, that's why we wake up in the morning. Please make sure you join Good Morning Jesus. Hasten the coming of the Lord. You see, I will give you something. God spoke something about last year when I was privileged to join in prayers for Good Morning Jesus. And God spoke to me and said, what is happening is this. Because I did agriculture. He said it's called forced ripening. In agriculture, what you call forced ripening is this. When you have bananas that are not ripe, I want them to ripen quickly. So you get one single banana that is ripe, and you put it inside and you cover it. So in less than 2 days, it will ripen. Are you with me? You see, what is God saying? You see, God wants us to ripen quickly because the time is short. Quickly grow into maturity. So he gathers us together under the same covering. That is why Peter, James, and John could perform miracles because they were ripening so fast under the ministry of Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? So that is what God is doing in this day. So Joshua chapter 4, verse 18. It says, we hasten to Passover. We need to hurry up. Verse 18. And it came to pass. The priests are not going to stand there forever for you. Say, and it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of Jordan. And the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up onto the dry land. And the waters of Jordan, what? They returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. The Bible says, book of Mark said, those that were ready entered. It's a window that God has given their boy. Could you rush through? It's not a time to be playing around. I don't have an understanding of what Israel ought to do. We are going to pass over in Jesus' name. And so we are going to cross over. We're not saying again that we're going to be perfect. Yet. But see, you must have a heart of reverence. A heart that is willing to do all the will of God. Because his heart of those that passed over was Achan. But you see, God, why did God deal with Achan? Because by reason of time, he should have dealt with that aspect of covetousness. Even though God opened the land for him to pass over. So God is coming to inspect everybody. He knows the time you heard this message, how you are practicing it. And that's why he said, during the marriage, we went and he said, a young man, where is your garments? Your wedding garments? Yes, he passed under the cover of those kind. But by reason of time, he should have gotten oil in his vessel. Praise the Lord. So the starting I put there, we're in a time of shaking. Say, we're in a time of shaking. We all know that the desire of the world may come. That is why it's only matured people that can carry the ark. The ark is not meant for the oxen to carry. It's not supposed to be on Philistine's cart. When we say no shaking, what I'm talking about, you explain. This is where God used this cross to explain to me. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6, they got to the concentration floor. And because they were bringing the ark on the Philistine's hack, what happened? The oxen stumbled. And what happened? Uzziah tried to steady the ark and he died. What does that mean in present day context? We don't need to turn there. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 6. You can read on the board. But link it in the New Testament. Okay, let me just read this. And when they came to Nikon's threshing floor, Uzziah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. You see, Uzziah was not supposed to carry the ark. The ark was not supposed to be on the Philistine's cart. Anyway, that's what happened. But what does it mean the oxen stumbled? You stumble when you don't walk in love. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. 1 John chapter 2, verse 10. When John began to speak, he used the same word stumble. He said, he that loveth his brother abided in the light, and there is none what occasion of stumbling in him. So that's why there's no shaking when they stand there. They have to stand there. They are walking in the love of God, showing mercy. So in spite and despite, as people are crossing over, if his mosquito is biting them, they can't move. They will remember that, I'm carrying the ark. Then they hold the ark again. They can't move. No shaking. It's a higher calling, you know. Not everybody's called to it. So when you walk across the Jordan and you begin to partake of the fruit of land and they are still standing there, it's not because of your making. Our youth need to know this. That's what covering does. They got to the land before them. I for them. Why? Because they parted. They had to allow everybody. Oh yeah, everybody. It is the captain, his last friend that leaves the ship if there's a problem. I mean, they are standing there. I follow me. So these people that they crossed over, they stepped there. But see, even though they stepped there, they don't have the stones yet. They are yet to pick the stones where they are standing on. I follow me. So many times in our life, that's what covering does. I follow me. When they are standing there on our behalf, I follow me. You enjoy blessings. What I'm saying is happening now, right now as we are talking, it happens every day. When you get up and you pray and you go to the promised land, you enjoy divine healing, divine health, divine protection. Then they do it again the next day. You cross over to point. And it's also happening as we speak now in the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. I also put it, I say, it is as they stand still and firm in the place of daily prayer and walking in the Spirit. And all those under their sphere of influence cross over. I enjoy the promises of protection, healing, and help. Praise the Lord. And as I already mentioned, they say they must mature speedily. Now, how do we enjoy or how do we practice things? I've already said it's very simple. Because God was actually in this, we're talking to two sets of people. He was talking to the priests that carry the ark. And then those that must have 2,000 cubits in their heart of reverence, I say, go after them. But there must be a distance of 2,000 cubits. It's a hard thing. I follow you. In which you reverence the ark. You see, you can't reverence the ark without reverence the person carrying the ark. Because the ark can't cross the Jordan itself. Men have to carry the ark. I follow me. You can't reverence the ark. So how do you know those to actually honor? Say, can't them double body of double that labor in the word? So those that labor in the word carry the ark. I follow you. You have priests that don't labor in the word, in the body of Christ. So they don't have the ark on their shoulder. They are not controlled by the love of God. So how do we do this? It's very simple. Like mommy said, God has given us 2 years a head start by joining Good Morning Jesus every morning. That's the easiest way we can follow and practice praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit. Mark 1 chapter 5 is talking about, he wake up a great time before dawn and depart to a solid place and there he prayed. Hebrews 5 chapter 7, it says, who in the days of flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication, strong crying and tears, until that was able to sing for that, and he was hot in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. He didn't suffer sickness or disease. He suffered daily self-denial. So that Peter, James, John, including Judas, can pass over that day to do miracles. Then the other thing is not stand firm. It's talking about diligent work in the spirit, using the blood, the word, and the spirit to wash feet at least 4 times daily. That's how you now walk. You now maintain that standing still by standing firm, by walking daily in the spirit. I follow me. And then the other thing is this, which must be an under guard for these things to work. And I close with this scripture, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. It says that, be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 17. Say, let not thy heart envy sinners. Say, but what? Be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. That is a present truth prophetic word. You know, I was praying today and I just felt led of the Lord to ask Pastor Dewey to prepare this message. I mean, I had something, but God said, and I didn't know what he was going to prepare. So then when he now sent me the notes later this afternoon, I told him, I said, yes, this is a present truth word. Let me put us into remembrance of what present truth is. Very simple, really, but it's not something that is common in the church. It is prophetic truth that is presently being fulfilled. You see, if you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament too, you find that there are many things God has said by the prophets to come to pass in the future. Now, when the time and the season for the fulfillment of those prophecies comes, and those prophecies start being fulfilled, then we call them present truth. The Bible says, thy word is truth. The whole Bible is truth. But the truth that is presently being fulfilled is what we call present truth. And it takes prophetic understanding and revelation to know which truths are presently being fulfilled at this time. We are living in the year 2021. And in this time, a lot of things are happening. And that's how I was able to see, I got some things, you know, written here now about this present truth. For the first time in the end time, we're already in the end time. We've been in the end time, you know, really since the day of Pentecost. The Bible says, in these last days. But I've shared this in church before. The last days has 3 days. 3 millennia. The first one was from AD 33 when Jesus was raised from the dead till about AD 1000, where the church went through a lot of persecution and problem in the Roman Empire and then went into the Dark Ages. The second day was from 1000 to 2000. That's when we had the Reformation, and then we had an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a restoration of Pentecost about 1900, you know. Then we are now in the third of the last days, which is the third millennium, which is from about 1995, 1996, because Jesus was actually born about 0 BC. So right now, we are not just in the last days, we are in the last of the last days. Not only that, we are also in a time, like Pastor Dioye mentioned, where there is death in the air. Look at the mask on your face. This COVID-19, there have been plagues before. We had Ebola, we have polio, there have always been plagues. But never have we had a situation where the plague now spread to all nations and all nations have been shaken, you know, both in terms of health and also consequently in terms of the economy. We are therefore experiencing now an upsurge in the perils of the end time. They've always been perils, but it has gone up a notch. There's always been iniquity, but it has gone up a notch. In this time now, the church is to move over to the other side. Well, let's understand that in a deeper way. Pastor Joey mentioned it, but I'll just amplify and clarify it. The other side, let's ask ourselves a question. What side are we on now? And then what is the other side? The side we are on now is a side in which we are experiencing the earnest of the Spirit. We have the Holy Ghost. We have come through the Red Sea. We've been born again. We're in the wilderness. In the wilderness, we had the pillar of cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night, which are symbolic of the presence of the Holy Spirit, which we got when we spoke in tongues, baptized, you know, into Moses in the sea and in the cloud. So we've experienced that. That's this side. Yeah, on this side of Jordan, we have the Spirit of God, but we only have the earnest. The word earnest is an old English word that just means a down payment, a deposit. So we don't have the fullness of the Spirit yet. We don't have the Spirit without measure. But on the other side, the promised land, that's where the Spirit without measure is. That's why it is called the land that flows with milk and honey. So we are now in a transition where we are to move from this side, the wilderness side, the side of the earnest of the Spirit, to the other side, the side of the Spirit without measure. But there is a river between the two sides. It's called Jordan. And you cannot go from this side to the other side without going through Jordan. It so happens. But, you know, nothing with God is ever... In God, there are no coincidences. The Bible says, known unto the Lord are all his works from the beginning of time. That the season of the transition of the children of Israel historically, when they went from the wilderness into the promised land across the Jordan, was the season of Passover. And it was a season in which, like Pastor Dewey has pointed out to us, the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Remember that Jordan is a type of death. Look at the world today. It's overflowing its banks. You just, you know, you get a text message. This person has just died of COVID. This person, the way people are dying, we're really, really passing through. The Jordan is overflowing its bank. And it's spiritual death, really, although it's manifesting in physical sickness like COVID-19 and all of that. The way the church is going to go across Jordan is what God has used Pastor Dewey to describe to us prophetically. For us to go from this side of the earnest of the Spirit to the other side of the Spirit without measure, we have to go through the Jordan, led by the priests of God who are carrying the ark, who will go before us. Nobody's been this way before. What Pastor Dewey says is very, very true. Except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And even the Lord Jesus Christ, he did it in as a person under the Holy Spirit. You know, all those years in Nazareth between 12 and 30 when Jesus was growing, there was nobody with him. He didn't have, it's not like today, there was no church. He didn't have Peter, James, and John. They all came later. You know, during that time, he was alone. But in our own time now, the good news is that we're not alone. We have a company, what we call the Breaker Company. And in our own time now, unlike in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we are about to enter into this land of the Spirit without measure. Not only will we do the works that Jesus did, it will even be greater. So, correctly, nobody has been this way before. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is our pioneer and he's gone, you know, and he's inherited it. But for us to do it as men that got born again, you know, fallen men that got born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and now go through Jordan and crucify the flesh and inherit the Spirit of without measure, it has never been done before. Nobody has gone this way before. You know, and Paul attests to this when he makes these statements. The first one that he made along this line, he says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things God has prepared for them that love him. Nobody's seen it before. The same Paul tells us he's saying the same thing, but he's using different words. That's why you need the get the spirit of the scripture and not just the letter of it. He's saying exactly the same thing. You know what he said? He said, when he talked about our Ephesians 3 prayer, you know, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. He said, now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we can ask or think. If it's above what you can ask or think, it has never entered into your heart. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared. So it is something that nobody has seen before. It is something that nobody has heard before. We have not been this way before. You know, and the Lord Jesus Christ himself confirms this by telling us that we will not only do what he did, and thank God for what the Lord Jesus Christ did, but majority of Jesus' miracles were physical miracles. Healing the sick, cleansing the leper, and raising the dead. The ultimate one of the greatest miracles he did was raising Lazarus after 4 days in the dead, you know, after 4 days in the grave, which was wonderful and great. But Jesus tells us that we're going to do greater things. Now, that is left to your imagination. Praise the Lord. Again, it has never entered into the heart of man. We have not been this way before. Nobody has been this way before where we will not only do what Jesus did, but also do greater works. So what is on the other side? This spirit without measure. And its consequent, you know, doing the works Jesus did, you know, and even greater. Nobody has been there before. So Joshua, God through Joshua, Pastor Dewey, telling us now that because it's a place we have never been before, we have to enter it with reverence and godly fear. By following the priests who will be carrying the ark. And as he was talking, I just quickly made some notes. You know, ordinarily, you know, symbolic, you know, historically, the ark of God, as described by Moses, what we call, you know, in the tabernacle of Moses, you know, was a box. Now, it had on top of it the figure, you know, image of two angels, you know, cherubims, whose wings touched each other, and then they were looking down. That's why that is called the mercy seat. But inside the ark, that ark, it had three things. It had the law, a copy of the Ten Commandments. Then it had the hidden manna. Then it had Aaron's rod that budded. So the priests who are carrying the ark, what are they carrying? They are carrying the presence of God, because the ark had the presence of God. You know, like Pastor Joey rightly pointed out, with the mercy seat, you know, priests who are perfecting the love of God and have the mercy of God ingrained in their thinking, ingrained in their minds. The Ten Commandments, which you can summarize as love, all the commandments is briefly summarized this word as love. So they have the love of God ingrained in their hearts. Because of that, they are able to bring hidden manna from God's word, and the Aaron's rod, their flesh, is bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit. That details what it means to carry the ark. So the God, people who are carrying the ark are carrying the presence of God that is bringing, causing them to have a revelation of the love of God, the mercy of God, you know, hidden manna, you know, the kind of thing we're sharing with you now, and you know, the life of God is being made manifest in their mortal flesh, bringing forth holiness, you know, in their conduct, you know, and the power of God. So this is the ark that they're carrying. Now we have four priests. You know, in these Old Testament types and shadows, one has to be very careful, you know, in interpretation. You know, one of the things that has gotten a lot of great men of God into error is to try to personalize things. It is better to look at the conditions, and then men that fulfill the condition will automatically plug in, rather than somebody who try and plug in their name and say, the four priests are, you know, Olubi, and you don't do that. You know, it's a symbolic spiritual thing. These are people that have grown, or that are growing to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Like Pastor Jay pointed out, you know, Papa Ralph taught us this many years ago, they are the same height. Because if they are not the same height, the ark will not be balanced. That is why four is God's number for balance. You know, so they're the same height, you know, and they are sharing the burden of the ark. See, the ark is not being carried by one priest. It's being carried by four priests. So part of the burden is on the shoulder of one priest. Part of the burden is on the shoulder of another priest. Part of the burden of the shoulder is on the third priest. And part of the burden of the ark is on the fourth priest. So you are looking at a collective group of priests. It will not just be one man or two men. That's why we're moving in a group. You know, that when you look at collectively their collective operation in the spirit, you will see that they bring this equivalence of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I brought this understanding some months ago, you know, or maybe a year or two ago, I can't remember. You know, when I talked about how they carried the ark in Israel. You know, Jesus was one. Then he had 12 apostles. But if you look at that 12 now, you know, and you look at it in groups of three, you got 4, 4, 4. So when you now put four of them together, you get the equivalent of one Jesus. Then you now put another four together, you get the equivalent of another Jesus. Then you have another four together, you get the equivalent of another Jesus. So together now, they now took the presence of God all over Israel by the borrowed anointing. So in the same way now, we have some of us that have grown to a particular level, others that are not yet grown to that level, but they are doing all those things that are inside the ark. The commandment of love, the hidden manna, the life of God, you know, inside their physical bodies. And when you now concatenate, when you combine what each of them is doing and you pull it together exponentially, one put 1,000 to fly, two put 1,000, you get that fullness. So you've got one set on one side, another set on another side, another set on another side, another set on another side, carrying the ark and going into the Jordan. So as they now go into the Jordan, Jordan begins to part. It parts, you know, and they stand firm and they stand still, creating a path for the rest of the church to be able to go through. And that's what is happening as we speak. It's present truth. It is happening now as we speak. For you to cross Jordan now, you need to do three things or four. Number one, like Pastor Dewey said, you have to see the ark. Two, see the people that are carrying the ark. Number three, you need to follow them with an attitude of reverence with 2,000 cubits. Number four, you need to do it quickly. Because we're in a time of a Kairos moment. It's a window. They're not going to stay inside that Jordan forever. They're staying there for some time to give time for the rest of the church to pass over. And you must, like the Bible says, you know, using that parable, Pastor Dewey brought out, you know, in the virgins, you know, it says, they that were ready. So it's very important. It's very important for us now to follow those that are carrying the ark. And it's not difficult to know, because that's why I'm giving you all the characteristics. You know, the mercy seat, the commandments, the hidden manna, the Aaron's rod that budded. And as they go into the Jordan, and they are standing inside the Jordan, and the death of the river of Jordan is cut off and parted, people who are following them will now cross over and say they did it in haste. They quickly follow through by copying their example, just doing the same things that they're doing. We spoke the other day, you know, about following. The word follow in the Greek means mimesis, which means to mimic. So you just copy the example with an attitude of reverence. That says there will be 2,000 cubits between you and the ark. You know, so you show them in your heart now. It's a heart thing, you know, honor and reverence and all of that, so that there will be grace. There's humility. There's the fear of God, you know, so that there will be grace and mercy. And then you'll be able to follow through on to the other side. It is those, watch this, who follow the priests with the 2,000, you know, cubits and go through the Jordan following the example that get to the other side. And it is the people, watch this, it is the people who get to the other side that will be partakers of the Spirit without measure. Firstly, as a borrowed anointing, like Peter, James, and John, and the early apostles. Then secondly, as they grow spiritually, you know, as the Spirit without measure, you know, which they inherit by their own spiritual growth. But it will start, first of all, start as a borrowed anointing. Now, what happens to those who don't go to the other side? Because there will be, spiritually speaking. Oh, yes. They are Christians, they go to heaven, but they will only stay with the earnest. And that's why the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says that no other foundation can a man lay except that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He said, but let every man take heed what he builds on that foundation, whether it's going to be wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, or precious stones. He said, those who build with precious stones and all that, he says, they will go through the fire, but the fire will refine them, and they will get a reward. That's that Spirit without measure. He said, those who don't, you know, and their work is burnt up, he said, they will be saved, though, as far as going to heaven is concerned. Yet so as by fire. That's another message for another day. You don't want to be saved so as by fire. The type for that is Lot. Who wants to be like Lot? God forbid. Yes, Lot was a righteous man. Lot finally made it. You know, he went to heaven. But look at what Lot lost. And truly, he was saved so as he was coming out of Sodom and Gomorrah, fire was falling. He was barely saved, scarcely. He was saved, but it was really so as by fire. You don't want to go there. You don't want to be like Lot. And they stayed, you know, on the other side, you know, in the wilderness. All they had just had was the spirit with me, sorry, the earnest of the Spirit. And there are lots of Christians like that, you know, who are not listening to these prophetic words, who are not listening to these prophetic words, who are not practicing these principles. They're not taking these things seriously. And when the window closes, just like the door shuts, then the opportunity to go to the other side is lost. And then they're on this side. It doesn't mean they won't go to heaven. We're all out of Egypt already. And that's the lesson of this message. It is an urgent, present truth prophetic message that we should follow the priests that are carrying the ark with an attitude of reverence, go through Jordan so that we can get to the other side and inherit the Spirit without measure. Mommy wants to say something before I finally round up.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you, sir. This chapter in Hebrews chapter 12 has been ringing for a long time in my heart. And I believe that this chapter is so important for us this end time. Live in it. I'm going to pick out something, just something now, that popped into my heart. And God said, go and share it. You know, I don't like the microphone. You may not know. I prefer my background ministry. But when the Lord wants me to share, I know it because He wants me to share. And it's Hebrews 12, 16. Hebrews 12:16. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. Dearly beloved, there are loads of us who are ignorant of the times and the seasons that we are. And the Lord always tells me, says one of the greatest prayers is that we should pray to have the spirit of the sons of Issachar, to have an understanding of the times and the season, not only have an understanding of it, but also the capacity and the capability to do it. Now, you may not really quite get that understanding so well in KJV. And I went quickly to Message. And he says, watch out for the Esau syndrome. Turn to somebody and say, watch out for the Esau syndrome. Because the Esau syndrome is in each and every one of us. Irreverent behavior. I will read the story from Genesis. That makes you want to drop the things of the kingdom for an instant gratification of the self, of flesh. He says, for ye know that afterwards, in 17, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought carefully with tears. Let's read it in Message. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessings. But then it was too late. Tears or no tears. He looked for it. He sought for it. But it was too late. Pastor Dioye was talking about a Kairos moment. A window of opportunity. God will not forever strive with men. There's always a window of opportunity. Now, let me read the scripture back in Genesis. Let's look at it in Genesis, where the story actually took place. Genesis 25, 29-34. You know, there are some pillar scriptures that I walk with. I never let them go of my sight. This is one of them. There are some pillar scriptures. The second one is when kings ought to be in battle. Look at how great God gave David accolades. He was a man after God's own heart. But you know, David taught me a lesson that there's no amount of love God has for you. He will not break his word for you. God is not a respecter of persons. And no matter how much you know God, there is no excuse to wriggle out of what is not the word of God, no matter how you paint it to yourself. So when kings are to be in battle, David stayed at home when the ark of his presence was in the battle. What happened to David? Here was David, who only just cut a little bit of salt. And his heart smote him and said, who can do this thing and be guiltless? What happened to the heart of David? Familiarity with God. And that's the reason why I said it's a pillar for me. I'm always reminding myself, God is God. God is God. You must give that 2,000 cubit in your heart. No matter how much he loves you, no matter how much he's using you, remember that God is God and he's no respecter of persons. Now let's quickly jump. And Jacob, I'm reading from Genesis 25, 29-34. And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. May we not be called Edomites in Jesus' name. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Sell me this day thy birthright. You see, many of us, we laugh. Don't laugh, oh. Because those questions and those things have been asked us consistently all the time in different ways. Different flavors of ice cream. Sometimes it's coming as vanilla. Sometimes it's coming as strawberry. Sometimes it's coming as cream and caramel. But it's been asked, sell me this day your birthright. And Jacob said, and Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? Behold, I am at a point to die. Excuse me. One meal. Hunger. How can he be at a point to die? Brethren, these things are constantly going on every time. And you see, I used to tell somebody, I said, I'm always in reverence before the Lord. Not looking at the now, but looking at where is this going to? Because all Esau saw was the now. He did not see thereafter. And so, for him, the birthright meant nothing. Birthright meant nothing. And Jacob said, say to me this day, because he couldn't trust him. But he knew he couldn't trust him. He said, you swear to me. Let's make it an oath. So that you cannot go back on this. And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he swore to him And he sold. Hey! He sold his birthright unto Jacob. Dearly beloved, this thing is going on every day. It may not be this, it may be in different other things. There is no amount of revelation knowledge I receive. If I pass it through the scripture, and there is one scripture that it goes against, and not only that, it also goes against the spirit and the character of God, I throw it out. Because it's like the devil telling you, don't worry, you can have this. Don't worry about it. Just take it, take it. It looks good. It gratifies the flesh. But what about the thereafter? The sons of Issachar, who have the understanding of the times and the season and what Israel ought to do, and the capacity and the capability to do it. It's a great prayer. Hey, then Jacob, with his own hands, he gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Thus Esau despised his birthright. You see, many a times, it's not usually the first person that God comes to that answers the call. May have come to you before, but some of the people were too busy selling their birthright. And then he keeps looking, looking, until he finds someone that says, Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing. Then let me look at the second one, and then we will look at it in Genesis as well. You know, you well know how Esau later regretted that impulse act. You know, well know, how Esau later regretted that impulsive act. I want to read this in scriptures. Maybe one day when God gives me the time in church on Sunday. This thing is so critical and it is so apt for now. Now, 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 now. COVID-19, he came to do a work. And the Lord allowed COVID-19 to come and do a work. I said to someone, I said, a person who is not strong in the Lord will get weaker and break relationships and covenants. I said, but a person who is looking more for God will get stronger and wax stronger because he knows how this redemption is nigh. You well know how Esau later regretted that impulsive act and wanted God's blessing. But then it was too late. Tears or no tears. Let's read it from Genesis 27. And I'll quickly finish with that from 30 to 40. And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, Jebotita, he sold it. And it came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. And he also made savory meat and brought it unto his father and said unto his father, let my father arise and eat of the son's venison that thy soul may bless me. Now, I want to just quickly drop something. You know that Esau was Jacob's favorite. No, Esau was Isaac's favorite. It has nothing to do with favoritism. What it has to do is principles. It has got nothing to do with whether you are Pastor Olubi's best friend or you are Pastor Olubi's PA. Are you following the scriptures? It has nothing to do whether you are lead intercessors. There may be some people who are not lead intercessors who are doing the word and who will go before you. That's why I have come to say this word. Because it's something that I live constantly in the awareness of. And Isaac, his father said unto him, "Who art thou?" Eh? And he said, "I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau." Yes. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, "Bless me, even me also, my father." And he said, "Thy brother came with subtlety and has taken away thy blessing." And he said, "Is not he rightly named Jacob? For he had supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he had taken away my blessing." And he said, "Hast thou not reserved a blessing for me?" And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, "Behold, I have made him thy lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son?" And Esau said unto his father, "Hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, "Behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of heaven from above. And by thy sword thou shalt lead, and shalt scythe thy brother. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have dominion, then shalt thou break his yoke off thy neck." Dearly beloved, we've come to the end of what I've come to share. Beware of Esau's syndrome. Beware of Esau's syndrome. Beware of Esau's syndrome. Adam and Eve also fell into Esau's syndrome. Has God said, no, he just doesn't want you to have knowledge. He doesn't want you to have light. And they bought it. Beware of Esau's syndrome. May the Lord have mercy and help us in Jesus.
Beware of the Esau syndrome. The Esau syndrome is a syndrome that does not put a value on spiritual things. Train away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. You know, our destiny in God, every Christian has a birthright. And that birthright is to be conformed to the image of Jesus. But what you do or you do not do will determine whether you actually get that birthright or lose it. And many times, the allure of the loss of the, let's say it in a simple way, you know, the cares of this world, you know, the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's it. Those are the three things, you know, make a lot of people despise that birthright. Let me paint it in there and we'll just pray and then go into the praise and worship in a simple way that we can all relate to, so that it can be clear to us, and by the grace and the mercy of God, we will avoid this Esau syndrome. And this is it. What made Esau do what he did? His desire for food, and the fact that the birthright looked like something far away. It's not now. So it looked like something remote. You know, that's not important now. I need to have what I need now. Let's bring it to today. The perfection and fullness of Christ, destiny. Those are things we have been hearing. Where is the promise of His coming? You know, they're just pie in the sky. These are just ideals that Pastor Olubi is always talking about. And they're not really, you know, they're not something I can get now. But I want what I can get now. I need money now. I need a car now. I need healing now. I need a wife now. I need a visa now. Etc., etc. So what happens is that people will make decisions based on what they need now at the expense of what God has promised. And they don't care whether they ever get that or not. The best way is, the Bible says, he despised it. I've been speaking, you know, the message Pastor Joey brought about, you know, dying, going through Jordan. A lot of Christians don't want to die. They don't want to go through Jordan. They don't want to do all of these things. Because as far as they're concerned, you know, what they need is, I'm happy with the wilderness. I get manna every day. You know, my clothes are not wearing out. My needs are met. So what's all this talk about going on to the other side? I'm not really interested in all of that. You know, and on the basis of that, they make a wrong decision, you know, and despise their birthright. But watch this. As we go through the Jordan now, and by the grace and the mercy of God, this inheritance of the Spirit without measure begins to manifest. And they now see it. They will now want it. And they will cry. But like the Amplifier, sorry, the Message Bible says, tears or no tears. Certain decisions you've made in the past and actions you've been taking can close that door. And then you will see it, but it will not be available. So this is the time to beware of the Esau syndrome. Pay the price you need to pay for the things of the Spirit. There's a scripture that God has been saying to me in recent times. Repeat it after me. Say, the flesh profiteth nothing. It is the Spirit that gives life and true pleasure and success. I look at men, you know, in the world. You know, I've been around now for 60-something, I'll be 62 this year. And it happens to me often, you know, when I'm praying and I'm meditating, God will just bring pictures back to me, you know, memories, you know, of things that were when I was a young boy, when I was a young man, the things that were important to people, you know, money, fame, and all of that. And I just look back. All those things have disappeared. The world passeth away and the loss thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, the flesh profiteth nothing. A good car, a nice house, you do this, you do that. you get it and it passes. But if you got it at the price of your birthright, it's not worth it. Because the one you get in God is the one that is going to be eternal. This other one is temporal. And if you can keep that at the back of your mind, it will help you overcome the Esau syndrome. Let us pray. Stand to our feet and pray. Just say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray. Father, we thank you for your word that has come to us tonight, exhorting us and encouraging us, Lord God, to go through Jordan, following the priests that are carrying the ark with an attitude of reverence and of your fear, so that, Lord, we can get to the other side where we will inherit the power of the Spirit without measure. Have mercy on us. Help us to overcome the Esau syndrome that will cause us to sell our birthright, this spirit without measure, for a piece of pottage, for instant gratification of some fleshly desire. Help us to see beyond the now and to see what you're doing, knowing that when we inherit the spirit without measure, we will get all things, including the pottage, a hundredfold. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to see what you see and to follow you. In Jesus' name.